want to know how to find it. Seek it out when they hide it. You know it's in the bag when it's an easy grab. But come on, take a chance now.
Welcome to the Geocaching Podcast, episode 437, recorded live on February 3rd, 2016. I'm your host, Ed Art Hat, with
Scott Burks
and Taz427.
You can join our chat room and watch our live video stream, plus participate with us as we record this episode. All this and more can be found at www.geocachingpodcast.com/live. Be sure to contact us via our voicemail line at 63031-VOICE, and also find us on, I've lost my line, Twitter, that's the one, at geocachingpodcast.com/Twitter, and Facebook at geocachingpodcast.com/Facebook.
Seriously, you don't have this memorized yet?
I tell you, I can do it in my sleep, and it's like you move really? One little twig, and it's like, panic, line, please. All right, this episode, believe it or not, is sponsored by cache-advance.com for all your geocaching needs. Cache-advance.com.
Go find it.
Yes, good stuff. So, yeah, it's been interesting. We've had mid-70s. It almost pushed 80 one day this week. It's terrible here in North Kakalaki when our winters, you know, we get our one apocalypse of snow and ice, and then it all just goes to spring. I don't know.
Yeah, the chat room's talking about being in tornadoes right now is what they're talking about.
Yeah, it's crazy. That front that went, I looked because I heard, you know, bad weather coming in, and I was checking the radar, and there's this line that's going from, like, Maine down to the Gulf of Mexico, and it's just going east. And it's like, oh, this can't be good.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Right now, what's going on, like, in Iowa and all the middle, it's missing Chicago, but that huge snowstorm that's, like, flying through Iowa and Minnesota and all that.
Oh, really? It's going through the upper Midwest?
Totally missing us, yeah. Just grazing Chicago. It's like we're getting a, you know, of it.
Yeah. Where's Corey when we have, snow angels to be done?
I know.
Just saying. I've been hoping to hear from him, and hopefully he'll be able to get two or three cans and some string put together pretty soon. I think the hard part is to actually take them and tie them at the top of the antenna.
Right.
Get it. So it's just being able to find the antenna right now with all the snow. Just saying. Right. So yeah. Yeah, good stuff. So how things going? And Scott, you were having your another week of non-good health.
Yeah, I'm on the mend. I still have a cough you're going to hear periodically. I apologize in advance. I will try and stifle the microphone when I cough. But pretty much back normal, aside from this nasty nagging cough that I have. Voice seems to be 98%. And,
yeah, that's great.
Feel pretty good,
That's good.
My contacts are destroying me, but that's just my personal issue right now.
Well, you must be healthier. You have a good, healthy glow about you. I'm just saying.
Right? I know. Jessie changed the bulb in her. She changed the bulb on her desk, and it's totally like whiting me out. Like if I get any closer to this, like thing, it's whiting me out.
Yeah, you don't have your healthy blue glow. I mean, it's
I got this red glow now. Yeah. So what's that?
Is that better?
Yeah. Let's see. Hold on. That's a little better. Yeah, that'll
work. That's better. Yeah.
That'll work. Yeah, there you go. Thanks, babe. So other than that, it's been a good week. I had a good caching weekend. We haven't done that in a while, so we didn't have any of the kids. So we went out caching on a Friday night. Right? Friday night or Saturday? Saturday and Saturday night. And then went cache maintenance all Sunday, which obviously we're going to discuss this show.
Oh, yeah.
Did some cache maintenance on Sunday, so... I went out with Cody Dog because Jesse had some school work. Cody Dog got like 26 caches because he was with me, and he was finding all the ones that I was looking at. So
that's good.
Yeah, he had a good day. I didn't find any. I mean, dang the crap done. But it was a good weekend, really good caching weekend. I found some really good caches on Saturday.
I need that.
I had a good day. Yeah,
good. I need that. I've been wanting to go out for just a good day, just a good long afternoon. No, I'd be happy to do that. So
yeah, that's what we needed, and we got it. We haven't done it in a while, so it was nice.
That's good stuff. Yeah. Mr. Taz, how's the leg? How's things going?
It's getting better. Getting better every day. Did manage to make it out to an event in Ice Cream Social and grabbed a couple puzzle caches in the area. One was actually a filled puzzle, so and it was close to the event, actually right across from the event is where you find the information from it. So before the event, I gathered up all my information, and then, of course, when I'm at the event, someone comes up and talks to the people next to me about, hey, I saw you found this cache, and I've solved it, but I can't seem to locate it. Can you help me? And so basically I use that to them to go find it because I hadn't quite solved the full part of the puzzle yet, which before I logged it, I did actually solve it.
All right.
Managed to get my name on a couple of puzzle logs.
That's great. Good stuff. Yeah, I just had some, lunch geocaching where I'd go out and find the closest one for 10, 15 minutes, get some parking grabs just to keep going. But I'll tell you what, I want to do a trip. I really want to go out and just have myself some fun and take wife Amy with me and just go for a day. I need it. I need it bad.
Those days are always good, especially when spring comes around. That's when it's really
good. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
Awesome. All right, let's move on to the podcast roundup, letting our viewers know what's going on in the geocaching podcasting community. And let's see, letting us know, we've got GeoCareHeads episode 214. I can't believe they haven't touched this before. Caching Ethics 1.
Oh, come on. One?
One. I'm just saying. Hokey smokes, guys. Come on.
Even more, I'm like eight.
I was going to say. Let's see. They've got Rock Chalk joins Chris and Daryl for a discussion about some ethics of geocaching. And I believe
he's a lackey, right? Isn't he?
Yeah, I think he is the new contact for people when it comes to geocaching.com. So,
I think I met him.
I'm not sure if I met him.
Sounds really familiar.
But, go check him out tomorrow on Thursday and give a listen to – I don't know how long he's been there. We really should get him on the show just to say, hey, how's it going?
Sure.
And then grill him. I'm just saying.
Sure.
And go from there. So we'll see if we can get Rock Chalk on as well sometime. Let's see. On a GeoSnippets Reboot podcast tomorrow, wife Amy and I are going to be taking on some – really, I found some interesting geocache containers. Believe it or not, don't roll your eyes. I'm Pinterest, and
wow, really?
Yes, and there's one I've got. I saw the article, and I didn't get a chance to read it completely, but it talks about waterproofing PVC pipes. So that one I'm actually interested in.
How do you waterproof a PVC pipe?
I'm not sure. I want to see what they have, but if it's valid, we'll bring it up and talk about that as well.
Shellac it or something.
I don't know. Dip it in something that they. You know,
dip it in gold.
Yes, that's and I wouldn't do that just for the very thing that we're going to talk about tonight. So anyways, that's on the GeoSnippets Reboot podcast tomorrow on Thursday, so be sure to check both those shows out. Good stuff. Finally, please consider, you know, we've got literally thousands of people, believe it or not, not dozens like we were talking before the show started, of viewers and listeners. We've got thousands of viewers and listeners that listen to and watch us each week, but very, very few that actually are contributing to help us keep the show going. And believe it or not, it costs money to do all that, and we would greatly, greatly appreciate it if you would go on to our geocachingpodcast.com website and click on Patreon or PayPal, either one, and just throw a couple bucks to us each month. We would greatly appreciate it. It literally helps keep the lights on and keep the show going, and we can use all the help we can get, as simple as that. So give that a shot, and we would greatly appreciate it. All right, let's move on now to the geocaching question of the day. Geocaching question of the day.
Hey, cachers, this is Lookout Lisa from Cache Advance, and I'm your host for the geocaching question of the day. Well, Cache Advance is your geocaching hub for all your caching needs, including the Cache Crate, a monthly subscription box of geocaching and outdoor gear. Well, Mondays through Thursdays, we ask our followers on Twitter, Facebook, and Google+ a question about geocaching. We recently asked, do you carry a first aid kit while out geocaching? Well, after tallying all the answers, we found that 18% of cachers do not carry a first aid kit, and the other 82% either carry one or have one nearby while out caching. So here's what we heard. StacyWilson00 on Twitter shared, no, but I will be soon for our local 4-H club. It will be a year-long project. Well, FishGirl27 shared, only when we don't end up needing it, get injured more going after PNGs.
Great name.
You know, FishGirl, those skirt lifters can be dangerous. And you also want to watch for beehives, too, in spring and summer. So Carrie on Google+ shared, no, I don't think it would be necessary unless I was in deep wilderness, and not much of that where I live. Well, Rai2D2 shared, I cache with two kids. First aid kit is a necessity. And Chad on Facebook summed it up really for most of us. He shared, it depends. A deep hike in the woods with my geo backpack is a yes. Short hikes, no. Urban caching, I've got a first aid kit in the car. Well, and Scott shared, no, but now you've got me to thinking that I should. Well, you know, Scott, that's good to hear, and I want you to be safe out there. So, as always, hearing about first aid kits.
Was it really?
And too, yeah. If you follow us, Cache Advance, on Facebook, Twitter, and Google+, for the geocaching question of the day. Thanks all, and happy caching.
And then, Chad, the first thing that popped up when I heard that, it's got to be Chad. It sounds like Chad. That's cool, though. Thank you, Lisa. And I'll tell you what, yes. And, you know, not to contradict the stuff for what she got from other people. I'm sorry. I give away, literally, the signature item that I give away are first aid kits. gotta have them. Yeah. I've got a major one in my pack I got a regular one that I have in my pack when I'm just doing regular stuff, and then I've got a full day one where if I've got a small army that needs triage, I'm ready to do that too because you just never know.
Yeah, I've got one. The ones you give away, you know, the $5 ones. I got that in my bag, and I've got a full one in my trunk.
Oh yeah, excellent stuff. Because you never know.
Yeah, absolutely. You should have one anyway, whether you're a cacher or not.
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
Help geocachers and muggles alike on the trail with them. Yep. So.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Tweezers, splinters, ticks. Come on, I'm just saying.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's a necessity. All right, tonight. Speaking of not dipping your geocaching gold, geocaching podcast episode 437, stolen geocaches. Why? I'm just saying. It's interesting. Scott did a very cool maintenance periscope, and the reasoning for his maintenance was
wasn't really cool. It was very frustrating.
It's frustrating, bizarre, and unusual. So, Scott, I'm going to let you take over.
No, finish it. Go ahead. Finish your thought. What were you saying?
No, it was interesting because you go out, and the idea is, did you originally go out for maintenance, or did you originally go out because you heard about this? These individuals that were stealing ammo cans.
Yeah. I know this topic is about, you know, missing geocaches and stuff like that. And unfortunately, I mean, I'm not positive. I have no proof of anything. 99% positive. It's local caches in our area that everybody hates and they hate everybody. Finally, they got banned by Groundspeak because of, you know, they were things they were doing with geocaching and whatnot. I don't want to get into it. It's none of my business.
Right.
But they finally got banned. From Groundspeak for life. I mean, they were banned a bunch of times for months, but finally they're gone. Like, caches archived, they're gone. And all of a sudden, everybody's caches in the area start disappearing.
Hmm.
And I noticed, you know, Jesse got some DNFs on some of her caches. I got some DNFs on some of my caches. And I knew for a fact one of my caches, I was telling Andy off air, one of my caches is middle of nowhere. There's no way you are not... Nobody is stumbling onto this cache. It is. It's not happening. Not only that, it's hidden. It's a hidden in the middle of nowhere. It's not getting muggled. And so I took Cody Dog 00, a friend of mine, out on Sunday, and we did a crap ton of cache maintenance. Pretty much every cache I have out in this area, which is a bunch. Did maintenance on all of them, and anything that was an ammo can, pretty much a regular, was gone. Those were all gone. All gone. Jesse's, I did Jesse's. Jesse's, anything above an ammo, you know, regular, gone. All of them gone. So they were still in our regulars. And, you know, and I'm not the only person this has happened to. A couple of other, I can name a bunch of other caches this also has happened to. In fact, one cacher actually archived all his stuff. He's like, screw it, I'm done. I can't, you know, yeah. I'm not going to keep replacing these, you know, because I guess yeah. he kept replacing them, but he just kept taking them. So I just replaced it with micros, with camouflage bison is what they are now, instead of, you know, so everybody complains why there's no ammo cans anymore. You know, one of the reasons is this. You know, this is one of the reasons why it's happening, is because it's not worth the costs involved. You know, I mean, there's no reason they, you know, I don't know, but it's very frustrating because, you know, I took the time to find these spots and to place these caches, and people always said, like, hey, you know, because right, like I said, right now, I've said before, right by me, right outside my window is the Randall Romp, which is 200 caches of just park and grabs down a 20-mile stretch. It's literally outside my window right now. Okay.
Right.
But and so a lot of my caches I get, hey, it was great to stop and find an ammo can after finding 150 micros. You know? It was great to stop and stretch my legs, you know.
Yes.
And that's great, you know, that's awesome to do that. And now it's, you know, it's boom. It's done. It's gone. You know, now you're looking for another micro, but it's a woodsy one now.
Oh,
you know.
Geez. And we just love those too.
Yeah, I hate them, but like I'm not going to waste my money and put another one out there.
Right.
You know, so it's very frustrating. Yeah, it's very very frustrating.
How did you have these cabled?
What? What's that?
Did you have the ammo cans cabled?
I did not have them cabled. I did not. Okay. No.
See, some of that stuff, too, and I was just kind of, you know, racking my brain. Why would somebody, I mean, seriously, if it's a muggle kind of situation and they're trying to get it, okay, I can see, you know, I was joking with Scott earlier, maybe they're trying to prepare for the zombie apocalypse and they need ammo cans to keep their food stuff, I don't know, or their ammo, whatever. Mm-hmm. But a lot of it is like, okay, are they melting them down? Are they trying to get a couple of bucks for the metal? But Scott said most of his were plastic.
Mm-hmm.
Plastic ammo cans, which I love. I got a bunch here.
The 21st century ammo cans is what I call them.
Yeah.
You know, they're not even $15 a pop, I mean.
No, they're
like $7, but times five is like now you're looking at $40.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, it's costing you money, but.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a shame. In Houston, over the past year, you know, we had a lot of ammo cans that seemed to be coming up stolen, and it didn't matter whether they were cabled or not. You'd find cut cables out there.
Cut cables? People would actually bring wire cutters out there and cut the cables off them?
And I'm not talking, you know, quick finds either. I'm talking you had to hike a half – there's one at a CETO event. And it was one of my friend's caches for, I think, a friend who had found a couple thousand caches. And, you know, I went to find it, and it happened to be on International CETO Day, and he happened to be out there after I came back. It's like, look, you know, there's a cable. You know, the cable, it's like I found a cable, didn't find the ammo can. And he said, you know,
That's gotta be some heck of a grudge. I mean, I understand people getting there, suddenly turning 12, and, well, I'm just gonna take it out on the geocaching community and steal ammo boxes. Really?
Yeah, I mean,
unlike Chicago, we have no earthly idea who it is, because, as far as I know, didn't have anybody that was getting banned or anything.
Right.
And, yeah, no real ill will, between cashers there, so I don't know.
What's funny is that person obviously, probably, is my guess, went out there without cutters and had to go and come back with cutters. So that person hated that person so much, they actually made a return trip to cut that sucker off.
And I'd say about half of the ammo cans that I found in the Houston area are tethered with cable, but that's not usually for preventing it from being stolen, but preventing it from being washed away when you get high waters.
Right. Yes, exactly.
Which, well, also the problem.
I had one of mine washed away when the Brazos River got within a few feet of cresting the levees, and I didn't. You know, it was so far out in the friggin' woods that nobody, unless you're going for the cash, there's no way in hell you were going to be out there. And it was about 50 feet from a drop-off down into the Brazos River. And so that one went floating away down to the Gulf of Mexico.
Yeah. Wow. You know, it's funny, I'm looking in the chat room, and Doc Firewoman, who obviously doesn't live anywhere near here, she said, like, hey, is this the same woman you've talked about on the Chicago Geocacher podcast years ago? And it is. It's the exact same person. Again, I'm not saying who it is, but if you've ever listened to my old show, you'd know exactly who I'm talking about, and she knew immediately who I was talking about. And, so it is what it is. Hopefully, you know, they're going to get tired of stealing everybody's caches, but in the meantime, that's what they've been doing. You know, anybody who was basically in our area or they've had a gripe with, and they've had many gripe with me because I love to poke the bear, so to speak. So,
sure.
So they have many gripes with me. So I'm not surprised that it happened. But it's frustrating. You know, like who takes that time? Who does that? You got to be
really
a certain kind of crazy. You know,
get yourself like another hobby. Then it's like, come on. Now, is one of the situations, would it be better, because I've had people bring this up in the past, so they're banned off, unless they go and actually pay another $30, which I doubt, under another alias name.
Oh, Andy, she had about four
paid, really?
Paid aliases.
Oh, my God. So you do get the extremes, too. But it's does it help to go premium? In other words, just premium.
I went premium on mine years ago. I do not premium anymore. Mine are all premium. Oh, yeah. And that's just from back in like the golden age, the 2010, 2011, when it was really blowing up. And you had these little kids doing it. Yeah. You had these 12, between 12 to 15-year-olds. And I just did it because I was getting muggled so much that I was like, screw it, and I just went premium across the board. So,
So even yours now with premium only.
Only premium only is my that's all I do.
Holy cow.
Yeah.
All right, so that blows that, Derry. So, yeah, you know, when you got somebody, because I'm like, okay, if they just go and they get another alias and they just have the standard, whatever, if you go premium only, does it help? But apparently somebody's going to track over $120 to have four different premium aliases. In fact, in there for the game.
What's funny is that you know, we know about three of them, and it's funny to watch because we saw them get banned and other caches get archived, and then we saw one of their puppets get archived, and all the puppet caches get archived. So, so Groundspeak slowly making their way through their puppet accounts. They actually have to prove it's them, but like she has, she has a bunch of them.
So were they basically using sock puppet accounts to inflate the stats of their real accounts?
What were the sock puppets for? Do you know, Jess? Oh, she has her earbuds in. What were Team Seek's pop sock puppets for? I just said their name. Sorry, guys. What was her sock puppet for? Well, why did they have the sock puppets? No? No reason? She wasn't doing anything?
No rhyme or reason as to anything that they did.
Because she's crazy. She's crazy.
All right. So, yeah, I mean, it's just if...
She would look at new caches with the sock puppets and then go find them under her regular account.
Wow.
She hid caches under sock puppets. Yeah, I was saying that.
She found caches under sock puppets.
Yeah. Yeah. She's just crazy. Just crazy. Crazy.
And you know, there's more than one. I mean, you hear about stuff like this every once in a while. It seems like there's a 2 or 3 year cycle, and we're due for that one. Now, there's a difference between the, okay, F you, geocaching.com, we hate you, we're going to go after you and get you geocaching. Mm-hmm. Then you get the other crazies that are out there that says, oh, my God, all your geotrash. You guys are killing the environment.
I love this.
Why are you doing this? We're going to destroy your caches, strew it around, because that's saving the environment.
Then you've got the dirtbags too. You've got the Dirtbag Society, the Geocaching Dirtbag Society, who all they do, you know, they rag on, if it's not a regular, it's trash. You know.
Well, you know, they had their own, and I have my Dirtbag T-shirts in the back. I'm just saying. I'm an honorary member.
Don't get me wrong. I'm not against dirtbags. Everybody catches their own way. You know,
if anybody's going to have a beef about this, it's going to be the DGS because, like you said, they can't stand micros. They are literally put out the regular size, put out the large geocaches, and make it interesting for people. So they push that out, and I love that. And if people are going to attack the regulars and the large just because whatever strange, bizarre reason that they're doing it, they would be the first ones I would say is, no, don't.
Right.
I wish there was a way of catching people that to do this. I mean, I would. I seriously, if I was in an area, I would be one of the first people to get one of those deer cams
and
put that puppy up and catch whatever's going on for
it. But then what? What are you going to do with it?
How do you know?
Then you have 100% proof positive that they did it. Great. Now what?
Exactly.
I mean, what's the difference?
We can call the geocaching police and have them come out.
I mean, what's the point? What's the whole point of it? And that's like, getting back to like the dirtbag society. Like, I don't have a problem with micros. I don't have a problem with smalls. I have a problem with micros and smalls in the woods. If I'm in the woods, give me a regular. Give me a small. I think a small even. Give me a small. Give me a regular. Don't give me a micro. I just placed 5 micros in the woods. I'm guilty as hell of all this. But what I'm saying
that
is
that was out of frustration, though. That's just obvious.
I like a trail of regulars and larges in the woods, but I like to have a one challenge micro along that path as well.
Don't listen to him, folks.
Anybody who sticks a nano out there can F off. Seriously, F off. You put a nano out there. Thank you. Seriously. You got something wrong in the head, and shame on you for putting a micro in the woods.
You've got all this wilderness, all this scenery, all this space, and I'm gonna put a nano.
Yeah, a freaking nano! I'll punch you in the head.
I've actually had good luck at finding those. I've had a harder time finding ammo cans sometimes.
I have to admit, there's times. There is nothing more humiliating than to be out in the middle of the frickin' woods with your GPS unit. You're at ground zero, and you're going. It's a frickin' ammo can.
Oh, dude, I got 13,000 plus finds, and I'm like, I don't see it.
I don't see nothing.
I don't see it. I'm missing it, dude.
There's one ground squirrel over here making me the stink eye. I just saying.
Yeah, it's the worst. Yeah, when you can't find it. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Wow. Speaking of that, let me go a little bit off topic, but that's
a good
segue to what I'm about to talk about right here.
Go for it.
Hold on a second. So there is a caching couple in Wisconsin. Again, not going to name the name.
All right.
Very famous caching couple in Wisconsin, okay, who just hit a bunch of me and Jesse's caches over the weekend. They were probably doing the Randall Rump and hitting all the caches in the area. And so Jesse's like, hey, can you do me a favor? And right off of Randall Road, Jesse has a 1,000 for one of our caching friends here. So she put out a commemorative 1,000 in a park. It's an ammo in a park. She's like, hey, can you do me a favor and go check on that cache, while you're out? Sure, of course, babe. So me and Cody go check on the cache. Sure enough, it's gone. Wow. What is there is a replacement.
A drop cache?
What is there is a peanut butter jar.
Oh.
With those cachers' names on it. So they replaced, so they obviously went there, didn't see the ammo can, because, obviously it was said to be a regular.
Right.
And so they dropped. And not only did they drop, they in their log, it did not say, we dropped.
Oh, I hate that.
So you wonder why these guys have such numbers, because they DNF freaking nothing.
Yes.
They have such big numbers. But wow. I have an issue with that. I don't have an issue if you're my buddy, if you're my friend, and you don't, and you go to my cache and you don't see it, drop. You don't have to call me, just drop. But if you don't even know who I am, you have no idea, you never met me before, and it's a freaking regular.
Yeah.
Don't you? I mean, if it's a nano or if it's a micro and it's under an LPC, throw an LPC. I don't give a shit. Drop.
Yeah.
But if it's a regular in a park,
the best you can do is really.
Okay. You're gonna drop and not even have the balls to say to me. In your log, hey, by the way, I saw it was gone. I replaced it.
If that's
okay, let me know. I'll delete my log.
Yeah.
Okay. Only if that's a 1-1 LPC. if it's a 2-5, you better be looking the hell up.
I couldn't believe it. I called Jesse. I'm like, it's a peanut butter jar. She's like, what? It's a peanut butter jar.
Wow.
They actually dropped on a regular in a park.
So then what do people do with that? Do they get a truckload in the back with
regulars?
Regulars or something that they're just going to, well, it's not here, let's replace it. And because, come on.
Yeah, it irritated me because I've never met them, but I've heard about them all the time. In fact, they're my number one finders of all the people that I have.
Yeah.
This team is I found mostly their caches, is what I found. They're number one. I have like 680 of their caches I've found.
Wow.
I'll carry around replacement containers and stuff, but I will contact the owner and say, hey, here's where I think it was. It looks like it's gone.
Yeah.
Mind if I throw one down?
Yeah. Now, most of the case, and I'll be square, the biggest thing that I have in my pack when I go geocaching is duct tape, because I'll repair a geocache that I found that's damaged and go that way and then let them know that's going on. I can't really think of too many situations unless, the raccoon's got it so bad where it's in five chunks right there, and I replace the actual geocache that way and say, look, here's a temporary, go for it and come fix it and do it the way that you want. But other than that, I can't think of a reason ever to drop. I have no problem saying DNF, can't find it.
Right.
And call them up and say, hey, give me a hint. Give me the right area.
Yeah. I do it all the time. I DNF all the time.
Yeah. Various bisons with me to stuff in the containers that are all broken up, and everything's going to get waterlogged again afterwards. It's like,
right.
I dropped a bison inside of the container because the container's so damaged.
And I've said the only time I will ever drop is if A, I know the person, I call them up and say, hey, can I drop it? It's not here. Yeah, go ahead. Or B, it's a power trail. And it's like,
ET Highway doesn't count.
Well, not even ET Highway, but there's power trails, where Central Illinois, where every stop sign within every mile, there's a, there's a film canister, I know where it's supposed to be. That's the only thing I'll drop there, too.
Yeah.
That's it. I'm not going to drop. If I don't know the person, I'm not dropping a cache.
No, it's not worth it.
Yeah, no. That's
Repair, yes. I mean, you notify them and you move on.
I mean, really, you couldn't log a DNF. You had to get that find that bad.
Yeah,
exactly. It's one cache.
Wow.
Yeah, it just blew me away because they're well known and they got big numbers, and I was just very surprised by it.
I would always, in cases like that, I'm just curious what makes somebody think that way. I mean, seriously, it's better for you to just throw it down and keep on moving because I didn't want to spend that 10 minutes looking for it.
Or log a DNF.
Yeah, because the DNF police are going to come and raid my house because I couldn't find it. Oh, my God, the shame.
I've got 13,000+ finds. I have hundreds of DNFs.
Yes.
I've got 600-700s.
Yeah, and you've never been accosted once for it. I'm just saying.
I mean, big deal. So you move on. I've had nights where I've got more DNFs than finds. I've had nights like that.
I've had literally... I'll never forget this. This was a time when I first started geocaching, and I didn't realize the power of the press, as it were. So I'm blogging this stuff, and there's this particular town near me where I took Amanda, and we went out geocaching for the whole afternoon. And I mean, we started 9 in the morning, left at 7 or 8 at night. And the majority, like 3/4 of the attempts were DNFs. So I write in my blog saying, hey, by the way, the maintenance on this area sucks.
Maintain your crap.
Maintain your crap. People saw it. And next thing I know, I get a message back about maybe 2-3 weeks later saying, please come back. We want you to check this stuff out. They went back and maintained like a huge, because there was probably maybe four or five geocaches that were responsible for putting out that particular area, and there were several hundred geocaches there. And they said, please come back. We want the press. We want people to know that this is a place
you want geocaches. It's in print now. You got to come back.
And so we did, and it was great, but it was like, holy cow, because you do get that, but you mark DNFs. Matter of fact, people love just setting up their DNF list so they can go back and try it again.
I love avenging a DNF.
Oh yeah.
I'm a full fledged member of the ISAG, I Suck at Geocaching Society.
Oh God. It's a 1-1. I can't find it.
Yep.
Yeah, it's we have a couple cachers out here, I'm not naming any names, that basically just throw crap out there and don't maintain their crap. Their theory is if the community's not gonna maintain it, It's gone.
Yeah.
So I know those two I can drop easily as well because they want the community to maintain it. They don't want to maintain it at all. Yeah. And it's all crap hides. It's all shit. Excuse my language. Yeah. But it's no, it's all just, you know, lamp skirt under, you know, the LPC lamp skirt crap, you know.
Yeah.
But when you're going for numbers, that's what you want to go for.
Oh, God. Pinky Boy. It reminded me of Pinky Boy. Oh, jeez. All that stuff was just utter crap. And he just kept on putting it out there. And it's like, please stop.
Oh, that's like Chicago Ziggy. I don't know how many people listened to my show, but years ago, Chicago Geocacher, Ziggy in our area, he had 900 hides.
How do you even start? I mean,
literally, I think he used to drive around and literally huck them out the window and take cords. Oh, his cords were that bad. That's how bad they were.
That's like Pinky Boy. It's like he had many more hides than he had fines, and he'll put out a trail, boom, 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 boom. And if you don't go out and try to find them the first couple of days, they'll quite literally sleek away. I mean, the containers will disintegrate on you.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah, yeah. Ziggy was like that, too. I mean, great guy. Loved him. Great guy. Shit hides. Just complete crap. And eventually he got to the point, like near the end, he got to the point where he would just put him off. He'd go like 60 feet off to make it, air quote, challenging. I'm like, that's not challenging. That's annoying. That's not challenging at all.
That's outside the rules.
Yes.
I mean, so finally, Groundspeak kicked him out, and they archived, in one day, they archived all his caches. I'm sure Jeremy Eyes looked at his numbers and went, wait, why did we just go down 1,000 caches? How did that happen? Because that was when we were nearing the 2 million. Remember when they had that
count? Oh, yeah.
And all of a sudden, 900 caches.
Oh, jeez. That's something. Well, with those kind of situations, I wonder how many people actually do sit there and go, those son of a guns, I'm going to get back at them. And do retaliate and just go off.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, don't.
It's just a game. You know, when push comes to shove, it's just a freaking game.
It is. It's like, you go out, you have fun, you do what you need to do, and make it enjoyable. The rest of it, you know, if you don't.
That's what we're trying to do. I'm trying to put ammo cans out to, you know, because everybody loves the ammo cans.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's just trying to make the game fun. And just, especially in the woods, you want to find an ammo can in the woods. You don't want to find a.
Yes. I do have to admit, the only thing worse than that is going to find a large and find nothing in it.
Right, that's the worst.
I'm just saying.
No, it's the worst.
It's literally empty.
Yeah, when it's literally empty, you're like, really, dude? You couldn't fill it? Don't tell me you filled it. You're lying.
Really? Yeah. Well, they didn't restock it. Yeah, really? Come on. Yeah,
everybody just took out of your large. Yeah. Yeah. Took the crap that nobody wants. Yeah.
The best large geocache, and actually it was an ammo box that I ever found, I had to literally walk 1.5 miles in a wilderness reserve. You had to get permission to go into this place. I mean, it was that kind of a situation. You go in, I took Amanda, we did 1.5 miles wood. There's no trail. This was bushwhacked from beginning to end. And, I mean, I went in with my snake boots. I had the whole shot going through this thing. Found the can. It was pristine. It was the large double-sided ammo cans, bolted down with chain that was probably used for King Kong to keep it in place.
It wasn't going anywhere.
It was going nowhere. One of the best finds I ever found. It was just filled inside with pamphlets for the parks and all the other stuff. I mean, one of the patches that I still have on my backpack is from that one. I mean, it's just gorgeous, gorgeous ammo can. I think they should do all that way. Just bolt these puppies down and just make it so that you can't use cutters on them. If you're gonna bring a cutter that big to cut something that down, then you're in for the.
The problem, at least in Chicago, I don't know about where you guys live, the problem with Chicago is that you have the forest preserves, okay? The forest preserves, some parts are really, really, really thick and dense, but some aren't. And some, a lot of them have paths, and people put them, 30, 40 feet off the path when it has a potential to be muggled. Problem again with that is now, if you're wrapping it around a tree, there's only, you're not going to have a good hide. It's basically going to be sitting there out in the open.
Right.
You know, I'm saying that's the problem. Is that now it's got the Chicago elements, the weather, and seeing it, and now it's got a good chance. You know, if you're hiding it, in a down tree or whatnot, it's not odds are it's not going to get muggled unless it's from another geocacher. You know,
yeah.
or somebody didn't replace it well enough, you know. But that's the problem, is that, like, you're risking it if you just, it's literally out in the open if you chain it down to a tree or something like that.
Yeah. And with this one, it was, I mean, I saw it, you know, 50, 80 yards away.
Yeah, but if you're a mile and a half into the woods,
exactly.
Someone's stumbling across that.
The deer don't care about the ammo can.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, wow, so frustrating weekend, but a good one.
Yeah. Yes, I just hope, you hope this minimizes as much as possible and go from there.
Yeah, and the saddest part is I just put out Jessie's 7,000, you know, her commemorative 7,000, and guess what it was?
Ammo can?
No, it was a micro.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but I put it way up a tree, so she'll have fun with that.
Yeah, one quick note I did get from a couple of our listeners, because I asked if they what their insights was. Timothy put in and they said some of them may want to hide them from themselves. They actually had a situation in New York where they finally got the person who was doing this. He was stealing the ammo cans and then putting the hides out for himself.
Wait, he what?
He was literally stealing the ammo cans and then creating a new hide for himself. With the ammo can and put it out.
When you come across the ammo can with that same exact dent.
Wow.
Well, that's because I always write like SK, you know, 5K, you know,
I spray
like
geocache with spray paint on right. it and go that way.
I template and spray it, and I do a two-tone spray.
Yeah.
Job, and so mine's going to be pretty obvious.
I'm saying.
That's
and
funny.
Then, let's see, Deborah had, I have an ammo can out, but it's right across the road from my house, so maybe that'll be a deterrent. Yeah, I have to admit, the ones that are in the front yards, not that I really like going to those kind of, you know, in the middle of the neighborhood kind of thing, right. But yeah, that's a bit of a deterrent, having it right in front of
me. Yeah, we have a cashier here who's got it in her backyard. You know,
yep.
Let me rephrase that. She lives in the city, so it's not her backyard, like her back porch-ish
right.
area, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's literally sitting on her back porch. You can just go there, and it's a travel bug hotel, no less, too. So it's kind of nice.
See, that's the thing I do not want to see go away is travel bug hotels, and they're usually in large ammo boxes.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. It's so frustrating when you see those disappear.
Yeah.
It frustrates the hell out of me. It drives me crazy when those. And the worst part, too, two of my caches had three travelers each in them.
Oh, see, that's that I hate.
Yeah.
I hate that.
That pissed me off. I'm like, oh, damn. Because that's like, now you're affecting other people who I don't even know. You know?
Yes.
You know? Yeah, so that sucks for them. I mean, I know what it feels like happened to me a bunch of times, but
oh, yeah.
It sucks. Yeah. That's for what? You know, for what?
I know, but it's good to talk about and good for people to at least keep an eye out, and hopefully they can come up with the magic light bulb to figure out how to catch these people and zap them with a taser or something.
Everybody put out regulars. That's my advice. Put out regulars.
Yeah.
I'm gonna put out regulars. I'm just not gonna put out in my area anymore. You know, I got to go further east.
Yeah, that's away from the thing.
Away from the crazies to put out my regulars. Now I'm not gonna do it in my neighborhood anymore. Is what it is.
Yeah, sometimes it's what you gotta do. Unfortunately,
that's what I have. I'm gonna do. Yeah, I still love hunting them. So I'm gonna put them out. You know that's
exactly. Don't give up, folks. Don't give up.
No, never.
All right. Good stuff. And I think that's about it. We should wrap this puppy up. Thank you, everybody, for stepping on by. We greatly, greatly appreciate it. Again, please consider supporting our show by clicking on our Patreon or PayPal on our website. And tell others about the Geocaching Podcast so they can come and get their discussion information to us as well. We love hearing from you guys when we do that. All right, let's move on. Thank you for subscribing to the Geocaching Podcast. Thank you to cache-advance.com for all that you do. Please be sure to join us each and every Wednesday at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time for another episode of the Geocaching Podcast right here on the Geocaching Podcast website at www.geocachingpodcast.com/live. The video version of our show is available on YouTube, and the audio version is available on our home up website, iTunes, Stitcher, and many of your favorite podcatchers. We love hearing from our viewers and listeners, so please visit us through our social media sites or contact us via our voicemail line at 630-31-VOICE. The Geocaching Podcast is a Head Hard Hat production and is produced by Andy Smith, Scott Burks, Corey Stevens, and Chad Courtney. The show is copyright 2016 by Andrew T. Smith. All rights reserved. and clear. All right, folks. Well, thanks very much for stopping on by. If you've got stories about this type of situation where you've got people going after you because they think it's geotrash, or people going out stealing geocaches, let us know. We'd be kind of interested about that. Just send that to headhardhat@geocachingpodcast.com, or pick any of our links to the hosts. We'd be glad to hear from you. All right, we're going to be ending the broadcast. Be safe out there, especially folks that are out there in the tornado weather, and for you that are still having winter, because we know who you are. Have a safe one, and we'll see you next week on the Geocaching Podcast. Bye-bye, folks.